And now we're going to come to the last section for today. And this is a section that is shrouded in mystery. So let's just read all the way through it, and then I'll come back and try and talk about it a little bit. Starting in verse 18, he was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison. He went and preached to the spirits in prison who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. Now that is wild. But what's wilder still is that some people have tried to build an entire theology upon verse 19, and he went and broke the gates of hell, and it's referring to the 3 days that between Jesus' death and resurrection. Some people interpreted as saying that once you die, you get a second chance, that Jesus went to people who were already dead and preached to them, and they had a chance to respond. Other people say, no, this is talking about him coming and announcing the news to people and going, and you are condemned. Other people say, no, it's about him going to people who had faith in God before Jesus came and clarifying, rejoicing with them in the good news and what lies ahead. Other people say, no, what he's doing is he's talking about the specific people in the times of Noah. Other people say, no, it's about angels and demons. This is shrouded in mystery. And we've been talking about general principles for understanding the scripture. And so this is a general principle. Never build your entire theology upon one verse, because there's a good chance you're going to get it wrong. Remember all those arcs. What you want to look for are the big foundational ideas that are said again and again throughout the Bible, you know, like the Apostles' Creed. So you really can have this solid foundation. It's when we try and go off in these really minute details based on just one verse that we get in trouble. So what can we say for sure here? Well, one thing we can say for sure is that in a lot of ways, Noah was like the people that Peter's writing to, because Noah tried to warn the people of his day that it was the time to repent, that this is the time to repent, this is the day to come to God. And what happened to him? He was mocked and despised. In the Jewish tradition, they really paint a picture of Noah going again and again to his people and warning them of the wrath to come and saying, now turn to God, repent, there's still time. And them really mocking and despising him, hurling insults at him, slandering him, just like the people that Peter is writing to. And Peter's saying that we are to witness to people we just saw. We're to give an account to other people. Noah was giving an account and he was despised and slandered. And what we can also say for sure is all through scripture, we get this message. God speaking, I desire that none should perish, but that all should turn to me and repent. As one commentator put it about these verses we're looking at here, God always gives a full opportunity to men to accept his mercy. He does not send people to hell. They go to hell in spite of all the provisions he has made for their redemption. Now, look at how this section ends in verse 22. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels and authorities and powers in submission to him. Right there, we then pivot into one of the major themes of the Bible, one that is repeated over and over in different voices in different ways. And if you've been with us as a church community, you know that one of the reasons I lift up the Apostles' Creed so much is because it's not some random religious babbling by guys that has nothing to do with the scriptures. It is a summary of the themes of scripture, and every line in the Apostles' Creed is rooted right in the Word of God, right in the scriptures. So think about when the Apostles' Creed says, on the third day he rose again, he ascended into heaven, and he is now seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. And then look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 22. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, on the third day he rose again, who has gone into heaven, he ascended into heaven, and is at God's right hand, where he sits at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him, and he shall come again to judge the living and the dead. He has authority over all. So you see that this final verse, verse 22, is one of those key verses that is captured in this beautiful summary of the major themes of the Bible known as the Apostles' Creed. So we have covered a lot of ground this morning, and how can we summarize it? How can we break this down and have some key takeaway points? Well, this is how I would summarize it this morning, and I'm going to use Peter's words himself to think about how to apply this to my life. Christ died for sins once for all to bring me to God. And therefore, because I have set him apart as Lord in my heart, because that is who he is, therefore, first, I will not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, rather than slander others, because Jesus is my Lord. And rather than slander others, second, I will be prepared to explain the reason for the hope that I have. And I will do this with gentleness and respect, because this is my calling. So rather than insulting and slandering others in return, I will tell my own story with gentleness and respect. Third, I can grow in that hope that Peter is talking about by daily studying God's word and by studying my own life with the daily examine. And finally, fourth, I can be prepared by actually writing out my faith story and practicing it, sharing it with my friends. So I am going to give you homework this week. I'm going to challenge you to do a couple things. I'm going to challenge you this week to read the scriptures every day. I'm going to challenge you to do the daily examine each night this week, or, you know, as best you can. And I'm going to ask you to think about the story of your own life and how you would explain your faith to another person. Probably you should write it down. And then I want you to practice it. Share it with somebody. Share it with whoever you're living with. Share it with a friend. Share it with your family. Share it with a neighbor. You can share it with me. I'd love to hear it. Let's do this. Because this is our calling. If you say that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, then you have been adopted, you have been included, you have been called, you belong, and as that, you are an ambassador, and so am I, to help other people, who are in a desperate, meaningless, hopeless world, find hope, find meaning by finding their Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, let's do this. Amen.